right. Good job, everybody, getting that done. Good job. Stage crew. The praise team became the stage crew. You know, I remember the first time I ever saw the I'm with him, I'm with her, like t-shirts. I don't know how many of you may have them, but I remember this is some years back, we were on the boardwalk, and as we were, there it was, a couple, and they did a really good job. They had their arms around each other, and his said, I'm with her, pointing at her, I'm with him, pointing at him. The choreography was outstanding and well done. They got it all right. And I remember thinking, okay, I get the message. It's pretty clear. But as soon as I walked by, I thought, but you know what? Those t-shirts could put a lot of pressure on you, because you got to make sure you are in the right spot, right? You know, because, you know, you just don't want it to be. You're on the wrong side. You're holding hands with a woman and the shirt's saying, I'm with her best friend over here, you know, or like anywhere you go. Like if you're wearing it, you can't, it's not a shirt you obviously would put on for yourself one day and everybody you're next to. The point is, you know, so, you know, if you don't, you're not careful with those t-shirts, who's with who, right? Mayhem here. But we're not going to preach today from 1 Samuel like I've been doing over the last who knows how many weeks. I just wanted to share today a little bit briefer, because we're going to have a baptism, about a man who never was able to be baptized, but he made clear to all the generations that followed, I'm with him, I'm with Jesus. Well, he couldn't point at him because his arms were stretched out on the cross himself, right? He didn't have any t-shirt, but he makes clear, I'm with that Jesus who's hanging in the middle of us two criminals. And so I just want to look at his life a little bit this morning, very briefly. We're going to have people getting baptized. And what is baptism? It's saying, I'm with Jesus. That's what it's saying. I'm with Jesus. And as he wasn't able to be baptized, we want to see what happened inside of him that causes these folks to be baptized today. And so I want to read a passage right out of Luke's gospel. Luke chapter 23 and verse 39 says this, and one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, that is Jesus, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other answered and rebuking him said, do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Whew. You know, in verse 33, Luke gave us a clear picture. When they came to the place called the skull, there they crucified Jesus and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. So we have a clear picture. Here's Jesus in the middle of two thieves. He's hanging there. The other gospel writers reveal to us that when they first hung next to Jesus, both the thieves were mocking him and saying, hey, you know, why aren't you doing what you said you could do? And just mocking him. But something happens with one of the thieves. They have what we call repentance, right? Repentance. There have been times in my life where, you know, I was a kid or whatever, and I said, I'm sorry. And really what I'm saying is, I'm sorry I got caught. I'm sorry that you're upset with me. I'm sorry this or that. Repentance is inside saying, no, I have come to an awareness, a grieving inside of me, that I know that I have sinned, that I need God's forgiveness. That's going to happen to this guy, right? But we want to know what causes it to happen. What brings about that change of heart? What caused this guy who in the beginnings is mocking Jesus, by the end he's saying, I'm with him? What makes it happen? Now, someone might say, well, it's the sovereign, divine love of God. God moved on this man. And absolutely, I'm aware of that. And Jesus drew this fellow to himself. I'm talking about in the human level, what was unfolding in this guy's heart to make it happen, right? that caused him in his humanity to sense and see something. The first thing I think is this. It's what he's witnessed for 3 hours. He hangs next to Jesus for 3 hours. And think about who it is he's hanging next to, who it is he's watching, right? Who it is that he's actually observing, what his character's like. Some years ago, Bob and Pat Cook took Greta and I on a cruise, Eastern Caribbean. It was our first and only cruise so far. But we did one of the excursions. We went, I think it was St. Martin's that we went on to. And it was a little like Volkswagen bus, the guy. There were probably 5 of us on it, and he's driving us around and telling us everything. But it was one of the neat things about it, besides seeing St. Martin's and the dramatic contrast in some of those places between the wealth and the poverty, was he's talking to us about all the people he's driven around. Ah, yeah, this actress and that singer, and they treated you like trash. They thought they were better than me. Or this, that. But he said, you know who's different than Bruce Willis? He said, I drove Bruce Willis and his friends around for 3 hours one afternoon. Now, that's fascinating, 3 hours, because that's about how long this guy was watching Jesus. He said, you wouldn't have known who was the star. Bruce or one of his buddies. Bruce Willis was so down to earth. You would have thought he was just one of us and he treated me great. Ah, he's my favorite, right? Bruce Willis. Well, he got to watch Bruce Willis for 3 hours, get to know him a little bit. This guy is hanging next to somebody who the writer of the Hebrews in the New Testament says this about Jesus. Hebrews 1 and verse 3. He is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God's nature. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. That's who's hanging there. There on the cross was Jesus, who was holding the entire world together while he's hanging on the cross. Think about his character. In John's gospel, John chapter 1, John says, the Word, the eternal Son of God, became flesh. We beheld his glory. It was the glory of God. Everybody knew he's not like any of the rest of us. There's such a purity in his character. There's such a difference in him, right? In John chapter 14, Jesus affirmed it. When they said, Jesus, show us the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and the Son, I and the Father, we are one. You've seen in me the incredible beauty of God. Think about that, right? Though that to be able to be hanging there and to watch Jesus suffering. And this thief on the cross, in his 3 hours, somewhere in there, he realizes and he's convinced, this guy isn't like the two of us. Matter of fact, he's not like any of us. There's nothing wrong with this fellow. This fellow is, dare I say, divine. He's from another world. And we know that because when we get back to the Gospel of Luke and we're back there at that scene in Luke chapter 23, what is it that he says about Jesus? In verse 41, he says what? We indeed justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. It is clear to me hanging here that this guy, wow, what he witnesses. But also think about what he hears, because he's hanging there on the cross next to Jesus. He's watching Jesus handle mistreatment. You know, we're used to all the movies where they got the guy tied and taped to the chair. They got 6 guys with guns in the room, right? And they say, they're like, all right, this is the end for you. And he says, when I get out of here, I'm going to kill you guys, right? And you're like, in real life, he's a goner. But in the movie, something's going to happen. He's going to get out of the chair and somehow knock all the other 6, you know. But no, that we know how human beings respond to mistreatment. Oh, cursing and yelling, and I would do this or that. Jesus does what? Jesus is hanging there on the cross being mistreated. And what does he hear Jesus say? He said in verse 34, Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Think about that. First, can you imagine what it must be like to hear Jesus talking to his Father? Right? There's something so adorable of seeing a little kid going, Daddy, Mommy, right? Just this beautiful relationship, you know, or you know, whatever love relationship we think of, you know. But can you imagine hearing Jesus talking to his Father? It's stunning. One writer says, he had seen the meekness with which Jesus had let himself be led to punishment. He has heard Jesus' prayer for his executioners. In that prayer, Jesus addressed God as Father. Not Almighty God, but he's Father. Father, forgive them. You hear him say, Father. I imagine that thief's going, whew, I've never heard anybody talk to God the way this guy's talking to God. But not only that, I've never seen someone so perfect and pure being mistreated say, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Wow. What he has seen, what he has heard, and that's only up on the cross. Think about what he's hearing down on the ground below, right? As he's hanging there and Jesus is displaying such purity and patience, the crowd is making all sorts of mocking claims about Jesus, right? What did they say in verse 35? And the people stood by looking on, and even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one. They put up a sign above him, the King of the Jews. And while they're saying these names to mock him, oh, he said he was the Christ. Oh, he said he was the chosen one of God. Oh, he said he was the King of the Jews. The thief on the cross is looking at how just cruel-hearted and despicable they are, how innocent and pure he is. And he's saying, you know what? I think these names they're using about him, I think they're real. They're using him as a mockery. But all that's showing me is they're real titles that are his. And somewhere in that, right, the titles start to be something that he looks at the contrast between the crowd and Jesus. And he has such a moment of awareness. What is he aware of at that moment? He knows he's guilty. What does he say in verse 40, right? Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we are indeed justly receiving what we deserve. He knows he's guilty, and he knows he's going to die because he's guilty. Right? He knows that. And he's saying, here's what I know. I deserve this. But what does he also know? That his only hope is Jesus. His only hope is what he heard Jesus say, Father, forgive them. His only hope is that this guy that he's looking at really is the Christ, really is the Son of God. And he comes to a moment of genuine faith. I love what one writer says. He had come to the bankruptcy of spirit that Jesus requires. And I want you to know, Jesus requires that of all of us. It's not my requirement, it's Jesus. You're allowed to reject Jesus' requirement. You are. I love that we live in a country with freedom of religion. I love that we live in a country that someone can look at me and say, you're an idiot for believing that Bible. You believe in this Santa Claus up in the sky. You're such a fool. I've had people say it to me, and that's okay. I would rather live in a country where they have the freedom to do that. And I don't want people being told they have to go to church by the government, right? But remember, I've said it before, your freedom of religion, it ends when you breathe your last breath. Don't think that God has given you the freedom to reject his son Jesus, because he hasn't. Jesus made clear that whoever hears my words and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. And Jesus said what? Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who realize I need salvation. He said, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Whew. And that's what the thief is. You know what? That's the kingdom I need, because I ain't got much time left here, right? I'm not even getting a last meal. Like, I'm hanging here, they're mocking me. In a little while, they're going to come and break my legs so that I suffocate. This is it. I need to know that there's a heavenly kingdom. And I'm convinced that this is the king of that kingdom. And he comes to a moment of genuine faith in verse 42. Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. See what he says? I believe there is a kingdom of heaven, and I believe you're the king of it. I'm putting my faith in you, Jesus. Whew. See, it is always important for us to declare that salvation is a beautiful, sovereign work of God. Absolutely. It is always important for us to declare we can't save ourselves. There is nothing I can do to earn my forgiveness. I can't earn it a bit. It's all his grace. But it is also important for us to declare the extreme importance of human faith. Human faith. We have to keep that balance because Scripture doesn't give us any other option. It lays it out there side by side. The beautiful, sovereign love of God, that he has done everything at the cross that we need to be saved, but the absolute necessity of the human response of faith. What does Paul say to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 2? Verses 8 and 9, many of you know these verses and love them. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works that one should boast. It is absolutely, we don't earn it. There's nothing I can do. I have to stand there and say, Lord, I'm guilty of sin and I deserve to die and I deserve to be separated from you forever and never taste a day in heaven. But I believe by faith that you paid the price for all my sin on the cross. You died in my place. And I respond in faith because you have allowed me to. See, it's a balance that we have to keep because it's easy to get lost. Some people lose the balance on the one side and they're all about, I did this, and that's why God had to save me. And other people lose the balance on the other side and they minimize faith into as if it's just a robotic event. But Paul made it clear in Romans chapter 4. He said this, what then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh is found. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. What are they saying? Abraham could not do any works to get saved. Verse 3, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Faith is not a work. Faith is a human response to God's work. Now to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as a favor, but as to what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Salvation requires your human response by faith. And that's not a work that earns your salvation. That's a human response to God's work of salvation for you. Wow. What an incredible, incredible truth that this thief comes to. Jesus, I have no hope, but I believe you can save me. I believe you can. Baptism, which we're about to see, is a public display of faith in Jesus. That's all it is. Nobody's, you know, becoming a Baptist, becoming a Methodist, becoming a Presbyterian. Being baptized is saying, I'm a follower of Jesus. That's it. I'm with him. You could be with Jesus. Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Oh, you don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. The thieves on the cross, burglars, criminals, whatever they were, Lord, I'm with you, right? He wants to save you. All you have to do in your own heart, oh God, I believe that I'm a sinner. Almighty God, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. I put all of my human faith in your love for me. I trust what you did for me, Jesus. Save me. And you get to rejoice in the words of that thief. Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise, right? Heaven is yours through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we just want to thank you for your love and goodness. We want to thank you, Lord, for these lives. Just like us, none of them are perfect. But they're going to come into this water and say, simple faith. I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't earn my way to heaven. But I believe Jesus paid the price for me. My faith is in him. Lord, I just pray anybody here today, anybody watching online, wherever they may be sure in their heart that they have put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Thank you, Lord. We pray in your name. Amen.